Opinions expressed on the following program do not necessarily reflect those of staff and management of WBIG Radio. The Big One, AM 1280 WBIG presents People to People, a daily news interview hosted by WBIG News Director Ron Newman. People to People features candid conversation with area newsmakers and community leaders and your telephone calls. You can join today's program by dialing 585-1280, area code 630-585-1280. Now today's People to People and your host, Ron Newman.
Well, good morning. It's 16 minutes after 8 o'clock. We are right on time for a change. How do you like that? After kind of a rough start this morning.
It's been interesting around here today.
As we told you, we are wrapping up Judicial Corruption Week with probably who I feel is probably going to be certainly one of the most interesting guests we've had on all week. And that's part of the reason that we saved him for last. Mark Sotto is in the studio with us. Mark Sotto has an MBA from Keller Graduate School. He has been an IBM systems engineer and an information technologies consultant. He ghostwrote for Bill Benson the book The Law That Never Was, Parts 1 and 2, and also authored The United States of Babylon, which, by the way, Mark, I'm certainly anxious to hear about. He is a legal researcher and consultant. He has written extensively on the state of the courts and specifically on jurisdictional questions of the federal courts. And that's something that we touched on, on Wednesday's show, I guess, with T.J. Henderson. Also in the studio with me again, Tim Wingate. We've told you about him before. He is the National Field Director for Consumers Against Supermarket Privacy Invasion and Numbering. That's CASPIAN for short. He's also the founder of the Carpe Libertas Institute for Critical Reasoning, a liberty and legal strategy consulting organization. He's been married for 25 years and has 3 grown children, and been a community activist organizer since 1987. And he's been instrumental in exposing government corruption within the legal system of Illinois, He organized the activist branch of the Seize Liberty Network, the American Rights Movement, that exposed government corruption in DuPage County, Illinois. So, Mark Sotto, good morning.
Good morning.
It's a pleasure to meet you, sir.
Thank you.
I've heard a lot of good things about you.
I don't know who would say that, but okay.
Also, I want to welcome back Tim Wingate. Tim, good morning.
Good morning, Ron.
Great to have both of you guys here.
By the way, Ron, who invited him? Oh, never mind.
Okay. I think he invited himself, really, if you want to know. He says, oh, by the way, I'll be there.
Yeah, he's like that.
Okay, whatever.
He just kind of bullied his way into the
door.
There you go.
He originally, this started out, he was only going to be in here 3 days. You've been in here, what, 4?
Actually, I think it has been. It was Tuesday, Wednesday, and then
Thursday
we had
and Friday.
The space yesterday.
Yeah.
That's a second hour.
Talk about wearing out your welcome.
I don't know about that.
Boy, he's riding you like a horse this morning, isn't he?
Yes, he is.
Well, fortunately, Mark's got a strong back.
I figure he said, I'm going to sort of discuss this stuff, so I'm going to try to sort of make sense.
Yeah, right.
Well, Ron's not telling everybody. Mark and I are great friends, so we're having a
blast. Yeah, you guys work together quite a bit, don't you, on judicial stuff and court stuff?
We have been somewhat lately, yes.
Yeah. How did you two meet, by the way?
We met because of our mutual interest in a guy named Carlos Rodriguez and the infamous assassination attempt by Antonio Asencio on Rolando Cruz in the DuPage County Jail, which has never seen much light of day, but hopefully that can be corrected.
Well, it's never been adjudicated, so to speak.
Right.
But that's he's correct about that. We were having seminars by a mutual friend of ours, Gene Zimmerman, who does a legal seminar. And as we told Gene the story, Gene said, you need to get a hold of this guy. And this is, what, about 2 years, 3 years ago?
Something like that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Well, it's great to have both of you here. I think probably a good place to start out this morning, I want to get right into this because I know, Mark, there's a lot of things that we really should talk about this morning. Maybe we could start here with, you have an analogy with the judicial system, I think, that that you would like to present.
Right.
What analogy did you come up with?
Well, I think if people just think of Alice through the looking glass while we're talking about this stuff, they'll get an idea of what the court system has become in this country. I kind of term it the rule of the Red Queen in the courts. And the reason why I say that is that, Alice, she was this quiet, sensitive, sensible, classically trained young girl who gets plunged into a maelstrom of lunacy called Wonderland. And nothing made sense. Everything was arbitrary and capricious. You had the Cheshire Cat, which disappeared at a whim. You had the Mad Hatter who talked nonsense, having a merry on birthday. You had the Red Queen who was prone to say offer their head at any moment. She had a hearing ultimately, but it lacked any kind of process, due process. And so if you think about that, I think you'll go far in understanding what we're going to be talking about.
That's kind of a chilling analogy when you stop and think about it. I think the parallels are painfully noticeable.
Absolutely. I think, one of the reasons why I went into this, I got into this whole topic that we're going to be discussing today, is that you can go into the court system and you can get beaten up, and you can leave with your tail between your legs and figure that I just didn't have a very good case. But even if you do have a good case, even if you've got all the angles figured and you put it all in your papers, they'll still have you lose. And so it became necessary for me, because that's the way I'm ahead, to kind of break everything down and figure out what the heck was going on. And that's why I went through this process.
You know, I don't mean to dig up old dirt here, but it's almost unavoidable. When you talk about corruption in the judicial system, theirs is probably more different directions to go than there are spokes on a bicycle wheel.
That's true, basically, but I would say that there are really two main types of judicial corruption. One is the direct classical type, where they put cash in your pocket, the old-fashioned payoff. Operation Greylord was like that, where they took actual cash and stuck it in the hands of judges.
Well, why are they so selective, Mark?
Well,
they didn't hesitate to indict the... Operation Greylord or Silver Shovel, or was that the same thing?
No, they were different.
They were two different things. But they didn't hesitate to go after judges in that. But how come others get a free ticket?
Well, you see, it all depends on perceptions. Okay, if you're perceived to be an important judge who makes important decisions, then of course you get more leeway. Operation Greylord, for the most part, was about traffic court judges, and they were just kind of being embarrassingly corrupt by receiving bribes from these so-called miracle worker lawyers who came in and gave them $500 at a crack to rule on cases favorably for their clients. If you have, so there was a problem of them being a small fish. If you have a federal judge who makes big decisions involving millions of dollars. Now, he may take more money, and they do take more money, but they take it indirectly, by and large. And they're doing things which are favorable to these big companies, and they get more slack.
Well, two cases come to mind that to me were just blatant miscarriages of justice. I may be wrong, because the jury is, as they say, still out on this. But I think of the case of O.J. Simpson. I think most people in the United States believe that he was guilty, but he wasn't found guilty. I don't know if anybody really knows why. I don't personally think that Judge Lance Ito was on the take. I don't believe that.
Why not?
Do you feel otherwise?
Sure.
You do?
Oh, yeah.
The other, and maybe we can go into that if we have time. The other one, obviously, is the Jeanine Nicarico case.
Right. Well, that was tragic. I think the Nicaricos were misled by the DuPage County State's Attorney, who at the time was Jim Ryan, and later Joe Burkett. I think they were misled to the extent that they insisted that Rolando Cruz is guilty right up until the... As a matter of fact, I think they're still saying that he's guilty.
It's interesting that it almost seems like they're looking for a warm body. I'm one of these people, and maybe you can comment. I'd like to hear your comments on this. I'm one of these people that feel that the reason that, A, the justice system, in other words, the defense, the prosecutors, and the judicial system, the courts and the judges, of course, the judge is the court, is the reason that, one of the reasons that we got into this mess is because we were the ones that told our local police, and I meant to mention the police, too, because they're the first step in this whole process, the police and everybody else that say, we want these people thrown in jail. We do not want these criminals on the streets, and we kept banging the table on this and banging the table on that. And finally, they said, okay, so you want us to put these people away. You want to see results, right? Yes, we want to see results. We don't want these criminals running the streets. So the pressure was put on, and you have overzealous prosecutors, which I'm sure you're aware of, because I've talked to lawyers both in the studio here off the air, and I've talked to them away from the radio station. I say, well, wait a minute, I thought a trial was about truth, that the purpose was to get to the truth. The person either committed the crime or they did it. There is no black and white in this. I mean, there is no shades of gray. It's either black or white. They either did it or they didn't. I said, trial really has nothing to do with the truth.
Exactly.
And I said, what? I said, no. It all comes down to opponents. You have a defense attorney and you have a prosecutor. Both of them want to win this case. And neither of them care how they do it.
Exactly. Well,
is that a pretty accurate interpretation?
On the surface, yes. To me, the greater problem, which also relates to the judicial corruption problem, is that typically a prosecutor and a defense attorney are very collegial. They're very buddy-buddy.
Uh-huh.
They know each other very well. They
go out drinking together.
They cooperate,
sure,
to a great extent. Unfortunately, that leads to a lot of situations in which the defense attorney might not say things which would help his client out. For instance, Rolando Cruz's attorneys probably would not and did not say, well, Jim Ryan, you have another interest in this case, in prosecuting Rolando Cruz. I mean, you're involved in drug running in DuPage County. And, of course, Rolando Cruz is a Latin king who was a drug courier. And you know that. And so there's this problem of you overseeing the importation of drugs into West Chicago through DuPage Airport and getting the drugs and money laundered through the casinos in the area. You know that. Why are you doing this to Rolando Cruz? That never came out because you have...
No wonder.
Well, yeah. So you see,
well, he would have been crucified.
Right. Exactly. So that's. But see, that's what people don't. They never see that. The press doesn't bother talking about that because they are constrained by their editors to not say such things. When Antonio Asensio came out with his story about the assassination attempt on Rolando Cruz being given, he was given a contract by a member of Jim Ryan's staff who came to him in jail, in prison, and said, would you do this? And he agreed to do it, and they imported him into DuPage County Jail for the purpose of knocking off Rolando Cruz. Now, they didn't say anything about that in the press except for Chuck Gowdy with WLS News.
Yeah.
And he came out, he did a very nice piece on it. But after that, you know, his editors kind of shut him down because, obviously, the DuPage County guys have a lot of clout. And they probably came into the WLS office swinging. And so you never heard another thing about Antonio Asensio. And unfortunately, he's been put in great jeopardy because of the failure of the journalists in this area and the so-called justice system to take care of Antonio Asensio.
We're going to take a short break. We'll be back with Mark Sotto and Tim Wingate, who has been suspiciously quiet over there, Mark.
That won't last.
We'll find out why after this timeout here on AM 1280. Here's an important reminder from Burhoff's Retail Seafood in Hinsdale. While celebrating this holiday season, have a safe trip home. Don't drink and drive. This important reminder was courtesy of Burhoff's Retail Seafood, located in the Grant Square Shopping Center in Hinsdale, providing Chicagoland's finest seafood for over 75 years. Trust Burhoff's Retail Seafood to handle all your fish and seafood needs this holiday season. Call 630-887-4700. They are seafood experts.
There's a place you all need to check out. A place for food, fun, and friends. The Grill at Cordon Blues. You know Cordon Blues, that fantastic blues club in St. Charles right on the river. Well, the grill is right next door. They've got a comfortable outdoor patio, live music on Sundays, and an extensive menu with great casual dining. The best sandwiches, appetizers, salads, and of course, fun drink specials. It's a great place to meet with friends, relax, and have a fabulous meal. And they're open every day at 11 a.m. for lunch, and they stay open until, well, until late. So if you're looking for a fun place for lunch, dinner, drinks, and a great atmosphere, check out the Grill at Cordon Blues. You can find them right next to Cordon Blues at 106 South First Avenue in downtown St. Charles. And Sundays from 3 to 6, check out the great acoustic tunes of the Wood and Wire series. Visit the website at cordonblues.com for more information. The Grill at Cordon Blues, come check it out today. Tired of malls? Tired of overpriced items for the home but love the elegance of crystal? Prince's House by Nancy lets you enjoy using elegant serving dishes, cookware, bakeware, vases, and more. Prince's House has everything for your home and is delivered to your door. Prince's House by Nancy offers in-home demonstration parties for your friends and family. Ask Nancy about a full or part-time job with Prince's House and enjoy employment where you can make your own hours and create your own income level while receiving beautiful merchandise for free. Call 815-455-1729 and ask Nancy for more information today.
To join today's program, dial 585-1280, area code 630-585-1280. Now back to Ron Newman and today's People to People.
Mark Sotto, Tim Wingate in the studio with us this morning on part six of Judicial Corruption Week. Sometimes, like I said earlier, they seem to go after, like, they'll go after you as a judge, but yep, they won't go after Tim as a judge.
Right.
Here's another case. I think he was Supreme Court Justice. I don't know if he was the Chief Justice at the time.
He was the Chief Justice.
Was he really?
Yes, he was.
Chief Justice of the Illinois Supreme Court, James Heupel.
Right.
Remember that name, mm-hmm, ladies and gentlemen?
Sure.
He got pulled over by the police, did he not?
Yes, he did.
And for DUI.
That's right.
And he was vilified in the press and on television. And boy, bad Heupel, bad judge. You know, well, that's all you heard.
That was a continuation of the vilification of Justice Heupel by Bob Green.
Well,
in
here's the
numerous
thing.
Columns that he wrote about the Baby Richard case.
Well, here's the interesting thing. I agree that James Heupel probably should not have pulled out his ID and say, by the way, you know I'm the Supreme Court Justice of the Illinois Supreme Court. And
we don't know that that's what he said. We don't know that's what he said. That's what the cops said.
Well, that's what they told
us.
That's
what the cops said. Well, if you believe what the cops tell you, then I have got
it. All you have to do is sit in court and watch all the testifying that goes on by our
But this was reported, Mark, in all the newspapers.
Yeah.
It was reported on television and on radio. That
yeah, the reliable press.
Yeah, he tried to, say, hey, well, I'm the Supreme Court Justice, and, whatever.
In my opinion, the reason why Chief Justice Heupel was treated the way he was that now the Supreme Court promulgates rules which control the courts. Generally speaking, they're just issued because all the seven justices of the Illinois Supreme Court, they agree and say, wonderful rules, thank you very much, and then they're published. Several years back, Chief Justice Heupel issued a dissent with regard to the Supreme Court rules which purported to control traffic court issues. And what he did in that dissent was to effectively say that the public safety purpose of issuing traffic tickets had been abandoned in favor of a system of collecting bounty revenue for the states, and that it was entirely unnecessary to hire so many cops just for the purpose of giving out traffic tickets so they could bring in more money. Now, of course, what he was essentially saying was that there is no jurisdiction for doing this sort of thing. There is no jurisdiction for abandoning a public safety purpose and instead going after people and collecting bounty revenue for traffic tickets. So when he did that, he was essentially putting every judge in the state of Illinois who has ever sat on a traffic case, which includes most of the judges, a lot of federal judges started out in state court and worked the traffic courts. He put them in jeopardy because there was no jurisdiction for what they did with the traffic cases. So, to me, they were going after him for violating club rules.
Yeah.
Well, you mentioned the Baby Richard case, too. And by the way, we had Ottokar Kirchner here in the studio with us a few years ago.
Right.
And I understand the boy is doing just fine nowadays. In fact, they even said that he hasn't even asked to see the adoptive parents at all.
Right.
And he's doing very well. That's a sidebar to that story. But Chief Justice James Heupel was involved in that Baby Richard case.
Right, he wrote the opinion, and it was a very well-written opinion. Bob Green lied in many respects with regard to his description of what Justice Heupel wrote. In fact, Justice Heupel had a perfectly legitimate foundation for what he was saying. He said the natural parent has, I think it's 60 days according to the statute, once he finds out that he fathered a child, so go ahead and make the claim. And even though he didn't make the claim within 60 days of the birth, which is not the statute, he made a claim within 60 days of having found out that that was his child. So he was perfectly entitled to have his child back. But of course, Bob Green railed against this guy for making an improper decision when it was perfectly proper.
Well, and it only makes sense because, just remembering the particulars of the case, Mr. Kirchner was lied to.
Exactly.
His wife told him that the child died.
Right, exactly.
Okay.
Right.
And then all of a sudden, hey, guess what? The child didn't die.
Right, and that was all on the record of the case. There was no question about the facts, and so Bob Green decided to gloss over the facts and the law and just blast away at Justice Heupel because, in my opinion, Bob Green is a kind of an assassin in the press, and he frequently does this.
Not much anymore.
Well,
no,
yeah, not much anymore.
Well, here's the thing, though. We're sitting here we're talking about judicial corruption in this six-part series, and yet, Mark, at the same time, even though I'm sure judges do deserve a lot of the criticism that they do get because as many people have said, the justice system is broke, which I would like your comments on.
Mm-hmm.
On the other hand, maybe sometimes, maybe we're a little too harsh on these judges. You know, many people rely on, say, or did rely on a Bob Green or some of these famous columnists and some of the more well-respected and trusted newscasters on radio and television, that, you know, if they say something, it's probably true, especially if it's a quote. But if these people are going around and misquoting people, and not only misquoting people, if it's something out of context or something and twisting things around, but an out, which is basically the same as a lie anyway, it's misrepresentation. But if Tim Wingate, for example, says something, I write it all down, I say, you know, I don't like Tim Wingate. You know,
I never
Tim Wingate ever since he tried to do something to me, you know, 2, 5, 10, 20 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to bury this guy. So I say, I quote Tim Wingate then as saying such and such was a total bald-faced lie. And I go on the radio and television or maybe write a column. How come somebody doesn't call me up? It's not right to bash, let's say, quote-unquote, Judge Tim Wingate. You know, why didn't anybody come back and say, well, what Ron Newman wrote in his column was an out-and-out lie. You know, I was there, and that's not what Judge Wingate said at all, blah, 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 blah. So, I mean, if we're getting misinformation from the press, most people can't go back or take the time to do that, to go back and look at the record and see what a judge said in a courtroom. We shouldn't blame Justice Heupel for, you know, we can kind of side with him, I guess, in the way, the mistreatment that he got out of that whole deal.
Well, you know, the problem that you're describing is one of, they count on people being unable to dig up enough information to make their own decisions. And so they feed you a line, and it comes from both the press and the courts, which is deceptive, and like you say, it's a lie. And people don't have the opportunity to find out what's really going on in these cases. And that's the problem.
The other thing I'd like to know, real quick, so many issues, and then I'm going to ask you the ultimate question here before we take our break. Here's the other thing I want to bring up. If these... Yeah, boy, did it again. I had a brain glitch. I'm having a senior moment here.
Well, I know what it is.
You know, every once in a while, these judges on the Supreme Court or judges... you know, circuit courts around the different counties, and there these judges come up for re-election.
Right.
I think I'm like most people. I go into the voting booth, and all of a sudden, oh, here we are. Here's the page with the judges on it. Let's see. Shall so-and-so be retained as judge? How about this one or this one or this one or this one? Hell, I don't know any of these people.
Right.
You see what I'm getting at?
I have a general principle with that, and I vote out all incumbent judges.
I've never been a court watcher, or I've never even been a hobbyist court watcher, you know. Maybe retired and just go out and say, hey, let's go out. Come on, honey, let's go see what these judges are doing. I don't know of anybody that does that.
That's another thing they count on. They count on people not being informed enough about... who these judges are to make an intelligent decision in the polling place.
So I could go in and I could say, yeah, I haven't heard anything bad about the guy. Bingo. Punch the ticket.
Right.
Okay. I might have just helped return somebody to the bench that really does not belong there, and I will never know it unless I myself go into the courtroom and find out how corrupt, let's say, this judge is.
But even if you went into the courtroom, it would be very difficult for you to tell if they were being corrupt, because it's not like the lawyers walk up to the bench and say, here is your envelope, judge, thank you very much for your decision. They don't do that. And they're very good. The best judges are very good, and they're very glib at making up a ruling, which kind of sounds okay, has some legal foundation to it and can be maybe criticized by some people, especially the losing side, but certainly it has the ring of authority to it, and therefore it must be okay. And so most people wouldn't be able to tell, even if you went into the courtroom and said, "Hey, what is that guy doing?" "I don't know. He made a ruling." And those poor people over there crying and rolling on the floor, they lost. So it's not a matter of whether you could actually go in and court watch and figure those things out. It's a matter of digging much deeper.
But on the other hand, let's say there's a case. Let's say there's a case where, and this is just an example, just for the sake of an example. Let's say, for example, a person is arrested, tried, and convicted, let's say, for riding his bicycle the wrong way down a one-way street.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
Just very simple.
Mm-hmm.
It's voting day. Judge Elmo T. Klutz was the judge, and he, in a bench trial, found John Doe guilty of riding his bicycle down the wrong way on a one-way street. So I say, you know what? I knew Elmo T. Klutz, and that's just the kind of thing he would do. I've seen him drive his bicycle down the wrong way on a one-way street 100 times in the last few years. Boom. I'm going to put that judge back in. Why? Because he convicted him. You, on the other hand, you know Elmo T. Klutz, too. But you've known him for years and years and years, and you think he's a great guy, and you think he got a bum rap. So you go into the voting booth, and you say, "Oh, here's Judge Elmo T. Klutz. Should he be retained?" "Absolutely not. He's the one that voted against my buddy, John Doe, for riding his bicycle the wrong way down a runway street. No, he shall not be retained." But you see, it has nothing to do with the truth. It's based on the public's perception of how good or how bad a judge is. We hear cases all the time, Mark. Well, not all the time. Occasionally you hear about a judge remanding custody of a child who's been in an abusive situation back to the parents, and everybody just, their eyes are rolling, and they say, "What is this judge thinking of? This kid's in a dangerous situation, and what does he do? He returns the kid to the parents."
Now you're getting to the real point, which is that the courts have become arbitrary and capricious, or the judges are allowed to be arbitrary and capricious because there really are no rules. Now, they can publish all the books they want and set them out there on the shelves and look nice, you know, when you see the reports. The lawyer's sitting there and he has all these books behind him.
Yeah.
And that looks nice. But the fact is, none of those books really mean anything anymore because of the way the system has been corrupted internally and systemically.
Now, we're getting to the heart of the problem.
Right, as opposed to the old-style corruption of the payoff. It just doesn't... The old-style payoff is kind of... it's kind of okay now because there's no rules anymore, so it's okay if I take the money, isn't it? So the problem has become institutionalized in a way that permits the old-style corruption to flourish.
Thomas Jefferson said, "Who will govern the governors? There's only one force in the nation that can be depended upon to keep the government pure and the governors honest, and that is the people themselves. They alone, if well informed, are capable of preventing the corruption of power and of restoring the nation to its rightful course if it should go astray. They alone are the safest depository of the ultimate powers of government." And this is part of the problem, is that you don't have well informed people. And it's difficult sometimes to get that kind of information. But ultimately, it's accountability. The judges are not accountable to anybody.
They should be.
Ideally, on paper, they are.
But I've heard that if you don't agree, you're the victim of a... Say, for example, you're wrongfully accused of something and convicted, wrongfully convicted. From what I understand, and I don't know if it's true or not, and I know we have to get to a break here right away, but... Thing is, I guess there's very little a person can do. You can't sue the judge for a decision, can you?
Well, that falls into the area of what's called absolute judicial immunity. Now, absolute judicial immunity did not exist in this country before a 1971 case entitled Bradley versus Fisher. And in fact, it didn't come over from England, as is commonly reported by some judges, There was no absolute judicial immunity over there. As a matter of fact, there are many British treatises which talk about the king's judges being perfectly amenable to suit. Bradley versus Fisher involved the case of one of the assassins, the accused assassins of Abraham Lincoln, a guy named Surratt. And his defense attorney was before the District of Columbia judge on his case, and the judge, whose name was Fisher, accused Attorney Bradley of all kinds of terrible things, and so as a result, Attorney Bradley accosted Judge Fisher as he was stepping down from the bench after hearing and threatened him, and so there's some fisticuffs going on there, and Attorney Bradley ultimately sued Judge Fisher for defamation of character, and the went all the way up to the Supreme Court, and they said, well, you know, you can't do that. There's immunity here. The judge can't be sued. Now, you see, there's a principle in the law called being in point or on point, and even though from Bradley versus Fisher they have applied the you can't sue a judge idea or principle or philosophy across the board, originally it was an attorney suing a judge in the District of Columbia, which has a very limited applicability. And so when they say no one can sue a judge, when they're really, all they're really saying is an attorney can't sue a judge in the District of Columbia, then you see they've spread that that principle around to protect themselves from suit, even though that idea has never really had legitimacy.
We have to take a break. When we come back, I'd like to hear both your responses to this question. Is the legal system, the judicial system in this country, broke beyond repair, or is it fixable? We'll find out after this 2.5 minute time out here on AM 1280.
You have one new message.
Hi, honey, it's me. You know, we've both been working a lot lately, and we haven't seen much of each other. And to be honest, I miss you. So I want you to clear your calendar for this weekend. I just made reservations for us at the Essence Suites. It'll be some alone time for just the two of us. A quick getaway without traveling too far. Now, I've already checked into this, and I'm sure it's just what we're in need of. The rooms are great, and they really cater to their guests. And there are no membership fees. We can really relax and spend some quality time together. So I've got it all lined up for us. But if you want to, call and confirm our reservations at the Essence Suites. Their telephone number is 708-403-3300. That's right, the Essence Suites at 708-403-3300. Now, since I'm such a great husband, how about a cooked dinner tonight? Frozen pizza sound good to you?
Essence Suites, 708-403-3300. You know how to make her happy, and we know where. The Essence Suites.
If heaven were on earth, it would be covered in gourmet chocolate with a cherry in the middle. That's no dream. That's DippedDreams.com. DippedDreams.com features gourmet, hand-dipped chocolate-covered cherries. Each golden gift box is custom-made for you. Choose from four types of chocolates: milk, dark, healthy carob, or sugar-free. And then your choice of either plain or one of five liqueured cherries, or customize your order even further and select a specific brand of liqueur. Imagine receiving a golden gift box, elegantly decorated and filled with brandy, tequila, or amaretto cherries dipped in gourmet milk or dark chocolate. DippedDreams.com, your source for the perfect holiday gift. They can be shipped anywhere in the U.S. Place your order today. DippedDreams.com is heaven disguised as chocolate. Place your order by December 20th and get your chocolates delivered by Christmas. That's DippedDreams.com.
What's hot this holiday season?
The thrill of the chill.
Come to Rocket Ice Arena in Bolingbrook and learn to skate. Located on Canterbury Lane by City Hall, the Rocket Ice Arena is home to various programs for all ages, all skill levels, and are starting soon. So call 630-679-1700. That's 630-679-1700. Learn to figure skate. Play hockey. You choose. It's great exercise and lots of fun. Give something special this holiday season. Give them the thrill of the chill. At Rocket Ice Arena in Bolingbrook. Call 630-679-1700.
Phone calls are welcome on today's People to People. Dial 585-1280. 585-1280. Now back to Ron Newman.
Mark Sato, is the justice system in America broke beyond repair, or is it fixable? and then we'll go into maybe why or why not later.
Okay. Well, the problem is that we don't have the justice system we used to have when this country started. It's been replaced. That's really the problem in a nutshell. And I don't know if you can't fix something that has entirely
been replaced,
mutated,
yeah, entirely different from what it used to be. Entirely.
Sounds like a much deeper problem. Tim Wingate?
I would agree with Mark. Everything has been changed. In essence, from the time of, I'd say John Jay and Marshall, they basically created a system by which they were able to do an end run around the Constitution and basically make constitutional amendments by judicial fiat.
All right. Well, we're going to go into this more in the second half. Right now, we do have a caller that's been waiting on the line for a little while here. Don, good morning. Say hello to Mark Sotto and Tim Wingate.
Good morning, Mark and Tim.
Hello, Don.
Good morning. I appreciate people like you that are getting after this legal system. All there is a bunch of greed. They have no common sense. All they have is dollars and cents. They're a ruination of our society. Now, I fought them back in the 70s. They put me in jail without bail. And I was ready to take somebody's life because I didn't belong in jail. But I knew the sheriff personally, and that's probably what saved him. The sheriff was going to let me out, and I told him, no, I want it overnight for the record. And the attorney involved, he's gone. The judge is still a loudmouth, drunken bum. He's still around town running his loudmouth off.
Don't hold back, Don.
Yeah, don't hold back.
If he sees me down the street, he'd better cross the street, go on the other side, or he's got a big problem. To this day, yet, it's just something I haven't been able to outlive.
Well, you have to do that, Don. You really do. You have to move on and get past that.
I put a sign on the road in front of my business, was there for several years, in big letters, "We avoid and boycott."
All right, don't say his name.
Lawyers, leeches, and crooks. I could say this judge's name.
Yeah, but please,
I wish that I could.
Yeah, please, Don, save yourself and me a lawsuit and the radio station.
I wish he would sue me.
Well.
And another thing.
So you've had first-hand experience then of being wronged by the judicial system.
Many times. And another way, I've mentioned it before on your program, Ron, that we could put a stop to this, the whole greed and theft problem in this country is going by a plastic card that would solve it all. With the dope, the whole thing. Mm. Believe me, we need it. I know you don't like it, Ron, because it cuts into our privacy, but they wouldn't be able to do this under table stuff they're doing in our legal system.
Oh, yeah, they would.
You know what?
Yeah, they would.
Electronic.
It's just offshore.
You know what, Don? You know what, Don? If you're talking about going to a cashless society, I am definitely opposed to that, and I am one that is not willing to sacrifice any of my freedoms for any type of safety.
Not only that, but the plastic card idea, that's just, you see, they can always find a way around that.
Yep, that's right.
It's all electronic.
Yep. But Don, I really appreciate the call.
I
wish I had time, but I don't. I've got to run the closing theme. We're going to pick up where we left at 9:15. But I do thank you for the call.
Okay. Thank you.
Yes, sir. It's good to hear from you. Well, guys, like I said, we're going to roll the theme here in about 12 seconds. So I just wanted to remind people to join us again here just before, probably around 9:15 this morning. May try to get into the show a little bit earlier this morning if we can after the news. But please stay tuned. Mark Sotto and Tim Wingate will be here after the 9:05 local news. And we have a lot more things to talk about. And
solutions.
Solutions.
And remedies to
there
this.
There we
problems.
Go.
We don't want to be Chicken Little patriots.
Right.
Always
and,
screaming the sky is falling.
If you have some direct questions, we unfortunately, as always with these types of shows, we can't go into personal stories and things like that. But if you've got a specific question, or maybe you're involved in some kind of legal skirmish right now, give us a call here at 585-1280. We're going to come back with some solutions and some ideas for you here. And we're also going to talk about the Federal Judicial Reform Act of 1947. I'm anxious to hear about that. We'll be back here on AM 1280. Please stay tuned.